Thank you. Nice to be here.
Let's start with a bit about you. How did you become interested in astronomy?
I was a young boy growing up in England. I was at a boarding school. I was about 12, and one night walking between the school buildings, one of the older boys turned to me and said, "Do you know that Milky Way has an important explanation?" And I said, "Really?" He said, "Yes." He said, "That Milky Way is made up of stars across the sky, and it's because we live in a flat galaxy." And I said, "A flat galaxy? We can learn about the entire galaxy just from looking from Earth." And he said, "Yeah, if we lived in a spherical galaxy, there would be no Milky Way. It would just be this uniform spread of stars across the whole sky." And I just remember thinking that was an amazing, amazing idea, that you could learn something on very large scales just from being on this little rock floating around the sun.
Are we in a flat galaxy?
We are.
Because I've just learnt something there. Okay.
So the galaxy is flat, and the Milky Way that you see at night, that band of stars, is direct evidence of the fact that we live in a flat galaxy. Think of a discus that athletes throw in a park. If that was all stars, and if you lived inside of it, looking up and down, above and below the discus, there's not many stars. But if you look into the disc of the discus part, then you see stars all around you in a band.
Yeah.
That's the Milky Way. So if the galaxy was a spherical, it was the shape of a rugby ball, or it was the shape of a, I don't know, a beach ball or something, and you lived inside of that, then in all directions, the stars that you see are about the same number everywhere, same density, unless you live near the edge of this big beach ball. So the Milky Way is direct evidence of living in a flat galaxy. So the amazing thing that you learn about the history of science is that people have been learning to interpret simple ideas, simple observations, in this sort of way. And so people have been thinking about these big questions for a very long time. But at the age of 12, I didn't even know to ask that question until somebody else raised it with me.
But the Earth is round.
The Earth is round. It certainly is. Absolutely.
Flat galaxy, round Earth.
Round Earth, absolutely, a round Earth.
That is Professor Joss Hawthorne, and we're talking about the night sky. What is your lecture tonight about?
The lecture tonight is very exciting, so if people are able to come, they should come along and hear it. There was a very big press blowout just a month ago. People may have seen articles and news footage about an explosion in the center of the Milky Way. And the centers of galaxies have these massive black holes. They've been growing over billions of years. All galaxies have these black holes. The Milky Way is no exception. Andromeda, M31, that also has a very massive black hole. These black holes themselves are invisible. Nothing escapes from these black holes. But what you do see is the stuff swirling around them before it falls in. So imagine a sink of water, like you're washing up dishes and you pull out the plug. The water never goes straight down the plug hole. Never happens. It goes into a swirl vortex around the plug before it goes down. Same thing about a black hole. So stuff falls into the black hole, but it swirls first. That swirling pattern, we call that an accretion disk. It gets very, very hot and then starts to shine. It fires off jets, it fires off bubbles, and great hot winds of particles. Our Milky Way's black hole, up until recently, we thought it was very quiet, that it didn't have anything like that. And in fact, today, when you look at the center of the black hole, there's not much in the way of an accretion disk. At least it's very quiet. But in 2003, my colleague from Berkeley, Martin Cohen, and myself discovered a gigantic explosion from the galactic center, but not near the black hole, on much, much larger scales across the entire sky. And we saw it with an X-ray satellite. 2010, NASA confirmed the explosion, but they saw it in gamma rays, which is a gigantic explosion, what we now call the Fermi bubbles, because it was discovered with the Fermi satellite. And gamma rays are even more powerful than X-rays. So that told me and told the NASA scientists that this explosion was even more powerful than we thought. And then we realized quite quickly that this must be powered by an accretion disk around a black hole, because star formation could never do that. The amount of power, amount of energy involved was enormous. So today, when you look at the center of the galaxy, there's not much going on. So what you're seeing is a signature of something which happened a long time ago, an echo. So my mission, actually, over the last 10 years was to figure out when it happened. So the explosion happened, but was it a million years ago, 10 million, 100 million, 10 billion, 13 billion? When was it? When did it happen? So you've got this is a very large time span. It could have happened. I was one of the different several groups that went looking for a way of aging this explosion. And my recent work, the work that came out this year, showed that the explosion happened 3.5 million years ago, which is quite recent in cosmic terms, because the galaxy is 13, 12 billion years old.
Yeah.
And this explosion only happened 3.5 million years ago, which is an amazing statement, because it means that when cave people walk the Earth, like the Australopithecus afarensis, Australopithecines, they would have looked up at the Milky Way, hopefully, and they would have seen this gigantic flash of light beaming across the sky, rather like a lighthouse beacon.
How could they have seen it and you're able to see it?
That's a very good question. In fact, of all the journalists who've interviewed me over the last 3 months, that's the best question I've ever had. So what they saw was the explosion when it started off right at the center. And what we see today is millions of years later when the explosion has progressed further out into the the galaxy.
The ripple effect of it all.
Yes. They saw the beginning of the explosion, which would have been these beams like from a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And we are seeing when the beams have progressed much, much further out into giant balloons, bubbles much, much further out. So we're seeing the echo of the flash 3.5 million years ago. They saw the beginning of the explosion, which would have been these beams like from a lighthouse.
Yeah.
And we are seeing when the beams have progressed much, much further out into giant balloons, bubbles much, much further out. So we're seeing the echo of the flash 3.5 million years ago.
So this is continuing now.
Absolutely.
Throughout regional South Australia and Broken Hill, we have these magnificent skies.
Yeah.
No light pollution. Great for looking at what's going on. Would we be able to go out and see with the naked eye evidence of what's happening in the Milky Way?
No.
Yeah.
With the naked eye, high energies means, in astronomy, it means high energy particles. It also means high energy photons, the stuff that light's made of. And these are all off shining ultraviolet, X-rays, gamma rays. So you need either a satellite in space or you need a ground-based instrument that's focused on certain diagnostics that allow you to infer the presence of these high energies. So unfortunately, you need a very expensive telescope to see this stuff. So we,
but it is still going on.
It's still going on.
Very expensive.
Absolutely, yeah.
What's happening now with this explosion that started 3 million years ago?
Yeah, so the activity is a flickering effect. So it's sort of like watching or waiting for earthquakes to happen, volcanoes to happen. They flicker. So you get these little earthquakes, these little volcanic eruptions. Then occasionally you get the big one, like San Francisco earthquake, and it goes bang. And you hope that these are not very common. And in fact, this explosion at the galactic center, we would not want that to happen anytime soon because it would send off deadly radiation in our direction, potentially. So the explosions, we think, are sort of a flickering effect. The analogy I like to use is think of a hot plate or a barbecue. And you know when you flicker water onto it, you hear this psh, psh. And if you throw a cup of water, you get this big psh. But if you throw little drops of water, you get little explosions. Yeah. So the way I think of it is the accretion disk around the black hole is like a very, very hot plate. And instead of water, you're flickering bits of gas or stars from the galaxy onto the hot plate, as it were. And then these cause these local or major explosions. So in fact, if we look at the galactic center today, I said it was quiet. Well, it's relatively quiet. But in actual fact, we pick up little explosions, like little earthquakes, almost every day. If you use an X-ray satellite or an ultraviolet satellite, or even an infrared satellite, you know, it sees infrared radiation for strange reasons, you see little flickering effects, you know, bang, bang, bang. But they're quite small. And then every 5 or 10 years, you might get a bigger explosion. But what we're now saying is every million years, you get a very big explosion, a cataclysmic explosion on the scale of the galaxy.
And where are we on that timeline?
Yeah, so the question is, when will it happen next?
Yeah.
And it's like earthquakes and volcanoes, we just don't know. Yeah. I imagine it would take a few more million years before it went bang again, I imagine.
That is the voice of Professor Jos Hawthorne. You're on ABC Radio South Australia and Broken Hill. What can we learn then from these remarkable observations?
So, again, you're asking you're asking questions right at the cutting edge, actually, of astrophysics. So you should maybe replace me as a professor at Sydney.
I
think you may be more appropriate for the position than me. Yeah, what do we learn? Well, there are so many things that we could potentially learn. I think the one that excites me the most is what impact do these explosions have on the galaxy itself.
Mm.
So these black holes were seeded. The first black holes occurred very early on, within the first maybe 100 million years of this multi-billion-year universe. So what happened was these little stars formed, these big stars formed. The very first stars were unique to their time. They were like gas clouds that collapsed and formed the first stars. They may have been 100 or 1,000 times the mass of our sun. When they exploded, we think they left behind these black hole seeds, and these black hole seeds merged to form even bigger black holes. So these black holes kept growing and growing and growing and growing, and today, as I said before, we find that all galaxies have these black holes at their centers. For strange reasons, these black holes, the mass of these black holes correlates with the mass of the whole galaxy. It's kind of strange because a black hole is tiny. The black hole at the center of our galaxy is like smaller than the orbit of Mercury around the sun. And the galaxy is trillions of times larger than that. It's sort of like saying that a sand grain or a dust grain in a cathedral is related, the mass of that dust grain is related to the mass of the cathedral, the size of the cathedral. Why would it be? It shouldn't be. So this black hole, it does correlate with the mass of the entire galaxy. So something about the black hole, it's growing as the galaxy grows in some very strange way, even though the scales are completely different. So something about that feedback, the fact the black hole explodes, maybe it explodes in a way that stops stuff from coming into the galaxy, like it stops the gas from coming in to form the stars. So I think what we might be learning is how the black hole affects the long-term evolution of the galaxy.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks ago, to my amazement, I thought, I like several others, thought, well, if the Milky Way has an explosion or an echo of an explosion, what about Andromeda, our gigantic Milky Way-like neighbor in the local group of galaxies? That's the biggest neighbor to us, also known as M31, Messier 31. So 2 weeks ago, a group have now announced that that also has an echo of an explosion at its center. I haven't had a chance to check their work, so I don't know how rigorous the work is, they present what they say as preliminary evidence of an explosion, even in M31 Andromeda. So maybe maybe all galaxies have these little echoes or relics of explosions. Mm. So rather than looking for the explosion now, look for the echo of the explosion.
Do we know what caused the explosion in the first place?
So a star would not do it. I thought initially a star falling into the black hole would go into the accretion disk, but a star doesn't give you anywhere near enough energy. It has to be a giant gas cloud. So the gas cloud would probably have been 10,000 times the mass of our sun.
Right.
So you weren't just, it was that cup of water I mentioned before.
Yeah.
If I flick specks of water onto the hot plate, you get little tiny explosions. That's not good enough. But if I throw a whole cup of water onto the barbecue, then you get this big explosion. So I think the analogy there is it's a gas cloud, a pretty hefty gas cloud. And in fact, if you look at the galactic center, there are these giant gas clouds swirling around it. And in fact, if you look at the center of Andromeda, M31, there are also gas clouds swarming around it. One interesting thing is that Andromeda, M31, is about the same mass and size of our own Milky Way, but its black hole is 50 times more massive than our black hole. So in actual fact, the black hole in M31 is on that relationship between size of galaxy and black hole mass. Mass of galaxy, mass of black hole. M31 is actually on that relation. We are not. Our black hole actually is very under strength, way less massive than it should be, given the universal relation for galaxies and black hole masses. So something about our galaxy is different. It's almost as if M31 has vacuumed up all of the gas that should have come to us. It grabbed more of the stuff falling into galaxies than we did.
Wow.
So there's something very strange about how galaxies evolve going on here that we don't understand.
You must love this. Every time you look at something, there is more to be answered.
Mm.
Yeah.
Everything you answer, you just discover many more questions. It's always that way.
Absolutely fascinating field that you're in, Professor Jos Hawthorne. Thank you.
Thank you very much.